Good evening, welcome to ArtSpeak Radio Digest on CFR 100.5 FM, Co-op Radio Vancouver, the Proximities Edition. My name is Bopa Chai, I am the Director Curator of ArtSpeak and Artist Run Center. I'm here in the office with my colleague, Eric Hood. You were just listening to Barrier Cowslip by Sydney Hermont, a new song with flute, guitar, and voice. Sydney's album is due out next month in August. We'd like to acknowledge that we live and work on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. Both ArtSpeak and Co-op Radio are located in the downtown east side in Gastown. In this time of increased online and remote programming, it's important to remember the local communities that make our work possible and ground our discussions. In the true form of a digest, the Proximities Edition has hosted artists, writers, and musicians who work with sound, voice, publishing, and writing within their practice. You can listen to past episodes back on our website, artspeak.ca. We envisioned the show as an audio journal, an expanded approach to our publishing program. On this week's episode 4, we'll be featuring Dashes with Barbara Lazara, as well as the latest edition of Bubble Broadcast with Hannah Jickling and Helen Reed, who will be speaking to New York-based vocalist Charmaine Lee. First up, we'll play July 5th by Dashes. Dashes is a sound collaboration between John Brennan and Elisa Ferrari. In their projects, they combine sounds of amplified objects, feedback manipulation, and modified percussion with field recordings and voice. Their sound interventions consider the acoustics of space to emphasize oral attention to what is already there. Brennan and Ferrari live and work in Vancouver on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. July 5th was recorded over a three-week period between June 14th to July 5th, 2020, built through an accumulation of correspondence between players and sonic material. It features an amplified fruity box, a toy piano, fabric samples, modular synthesizer, drums, and voice. The text cited in the track is from the July 5th entry of Gilbert White's Year, passages from the Garden Calendar and the Naturalist's Journal, 1751 to 1793.
Thank you.
as the ArtSpeak Radio Digest Proximity's artists in residence, Helen Reed and Hannah Jickling of Big Rock Candy Mountain have been sharing their research as part of their Sleepy Soda project, which will develop a special edition of soda with grade 6 students in Edmonton, Alberta. Through an interest in unconventional contexts, their projects prioritize collaborative research, elaborate antics, and a critical commitment to ways in which artworks are transmitted and circulate amongst publics. This week on Bubble Broadcast, they speak with New York-based vocalist Charmaine Lee. Her music is predominantly improvised, favoring a uniquely personal approach to vocal expression, concerned with spontaneity, playfulness, and risk-taking. Beyond extended vocal technique, Charmaine uses amplification, feedback, and microphones to augment and distort the voice. As a composer, Charmaine has been commissioned by the Wet Ink Ensemble 2018 and Spectral Quartet 2018. And in 2019, she was an artist in residence at Issue Project Room in Brooklyn, New York.
Welcome to episode 4 of Bubble Broadcast with Big Rock Candy Mountain, where we explore the sounds of soda. Last week we were in Sydney Hermont's studio, playing with contact mics and also with blowing bubbles into soda, very much inspired by the practice of New York-based vocalist Charmaine Lee, who is our special guest this week. We were drawn to Charmaine's work on the topic of proximities because Charmaine crafts a listening experience with attention to the incredible nuance of sounds of closeness, sounds from the mouth and the throat. Charmaine Lee's music is predominantly improvised, favoring a uniquely personal approach to vocal expression concerned with spontaneity, playfulness, and risk-taking. Beyond extended vocal technique, Charmaine uses amplification, feedback, and microphones to augment and distort the voice, as you'll hear shortly. I had an opportunity to video chat with Charmaine over the weekend, and you're about to hear a segment of that conversation. We'll start with a track titled Boobles from Charmaine's album G-G-G-G.
Thank you. watching videos of you performing live, I can see that there's multiple mics and each is producing like a particular kind of sound quality. And I wondered if you could just talk through how you're set up.
I'm particularly concerned with this idea of polyphony. And that means for me how to create as many different independent streams of activity with a single sound source. So my voice, for example, the microphones come from this exploration of trying to highlight and accentuate different parts of my voice and body, all happening independently. And for example, you know, I use my primary sort of microphone is this dynamic mic that you would find at any karaoke bar or your standard microphone. And I have that just on my mouth. 2 years ago, I started working with a contact microphone. A friend of mine had just given me a contact mic because he'd made one. And I started playing with it on different parts of my throat. And I discovered this amazing set of possibilities that come from amplifying your throat. And specifically, I found a place kind of near my thyroid where it would accentuate all of this sound that you actually can't, you won't even be able to hear perceptively like in any other way. So the sounds of swallowing, certain tones that it brings out from, you know, drone or any kind of like glottal stops. So that was just like this whole new potential for me. And then I started to discover the independence that I could achieve from the work that I do on my throat and also with my lips, because we have another air hole with our nose. And so two streams of activity can kind of happen at the same time. So that was, this is really exciting for me and something that I feel is a part of a much longer exploration. In my sort of primary setup, I have two other microphones that I work with in addition to that. One is this I call it the shotgun. It's a very slim mic that I found attached to this tape player from the 90s. Uh-huh. And it's super distorted. It lets me tap into a kind of much noisier language that I'm really interested in. And then the other mic I use is this mini handheld tape player, which has a microphone built into it. It's a very, very sensitive microphone. And so it has a lot of feedback response, which is really exciting and interesting when I'm thinking about like another stream of activity happening at the same time.
I guess maybe this like dovetails into the question about improvisation. Like you're managing multiple things happening simultaneously just within yourself. And I wonder if you could just give us your definition of improvisation. And there's something that I'm really curious about is how do you prepare to improvise?
I just want to give some backstory. Some context might be helpful in this.
Yeah.
I studied sociology for my bachelor's degree, and then I ended up going to New England Conservatory in Boston to pursue my master's in jazz voice because I had this dream at the time of being a modern jazz singer, essentially. And in my first week of school, I had on a whim signed up for this ensemble called the Free Music Ensemble, which was led by this amazing guitarist, Joe Morris. And in that class, we played through all the music of Anthony Braxton, Eric Dolphy, Steve Lacy, Ornette Coleman, etc. And I had heard all these names before, but I'd never really dived deep in their music. And so in this ensemble, we worked through all the music of these people and more. And in the process, we unpacked all these different methods of improvisation. And the sort of umbrella method we were using to think about this was a method that Joe had developed. This kind of, he calls it meta methodology, because basically it's this idea, it's a way of speaking about improvisation that attempts to connect, you know, the person who just plays like whatever God tells them to play, you know, to a conservatory kid like me it's a way of trying to bridge so many different approaches and methods of improvisation. And it's actually quite simple to think about. And this pertains to group improvisation specifically. But basically, it's this idea that in any one moment that you're improvising with somebody, you're in one of five different states. The first is you are soloing, you are juxtaposing, you're complimenting, you're in unison, or silent. And when you think about it, those are very social terms. You know, that's why it's so successful in trying to create a sense of organization around this, like, seemingly, like, huge abstract thing. And so when I was learning with Joe, I studied with him privately after that, we kind of worked through these different ways of listening. And at first it feels very awkward and you're really intentionally trying to, you know, for the next 2 minutes, we're going to be in unison with each other. And the next 2 minutes we're only juxtaposing. That's obviously like feels awkward and contrived when you're doing it for the first time. What it did do for me was it really created a focused way of listening. And I think, you know, these days I don't really operate with that lens constantly, but I think it's always there in my subconscious.
And as a solo performer, how are you kind of pushing against yourself then?
Well, solo improvisation is kind of its own beast. You have to set up your own obstacle course and then try to find solutions for it. And that's a unique experience, I think. There's no rule book to any of how one develops a discipline in improvised music. So I think what it does is it makes you as the improviser, it gives you full autonomy to build your own system of practice and of meaning. In solo improvisation especially, I've developed this little worksheet which thinks about just like having listened to a lot of improvised music and solo improvised music and having done it now for a few years, I've developed kind of a umbrella strategy, the different strategies that improvisers use when they're working in solo improvisation specifically. Like, how do we create that obstacle course? How do we ask those problems and then try to solve them? And they can be kind of explained graphically. So this idea of something is happening, you know, like a very skittery moment of back and forth, right? Like, I kind of call it scratch and sniff, like, you know, like things that are just quick and fast. And that if you should define that as kind of like A, you know, that's cell A. And then something else that's contrasting to that, like a long drone, like, you know, something to sort of really juxtapose this cell A, and you define that as cell B. And then you position them against each other, and then you then try to develop cell A and cell B, like A, B, A, B, but A kind of gets a little longer, B gets a little shorter. In my practice time, I try to really intentionally create these forms of listening where I'm like, okay, I'm going to work through this material here, I'm going to move to something else that juxtaposes that material, and then I'm going to move to something else, but then I'm going to refer back to the first cell of information. So it's working through those things consciously in practice, and then when it comes to the performance, it's ad hoc, but I just know that I've, in my mind, have like worked through all these different combinations of ways of moving through my language.
I would like to ask you about the, like doing something pre-recorded versus doing something live.
Yeah. You know, I realized very quickly when I was recording Ga-Ga-Ga-Ga-Ga, the record you're taking the two tracks from, that there was no point in trying to fake a live performance, if that makes sense. So I recorded that album in my bedroom. And I work full time at this arts organization. And at night I would just like go home and like lock myself in my bedroom and then for I think like 3 or 4 weeks just record. What I ended up with were these kind of hyper-focused tracks exploring a single facet of my sound at that time. Boobles was like, you know, I was playing with a contact mic waterproofed in a glass with water, and I taped that mic to the glass, and then I was playing with the position of my straw. What kid has not done this in their life? But when you actually put it in a context that is musical and you're trying to actually work with the sound material, you realize like how musical it actually can be. I'm really interested, as someone whose instrument is the voice, to push that context, you know, like we using the human voice is so inherently tied to such a range of emotions and associations. And so as a vocalist, it's really hard to break that association in pursuit of something more creative and abstract.
You were just listening to a conversation with Charmaine Lee, New York-based vocalist and improviser. We'll finish off this week with another one of Charmaine's tracks called Pickles, and we'll be back next week with more Bubbles.
Sunset Village from Beverly Glenn Copeland's album Keyboard Fantasies, 1986. This next track is a collaboration between Dashes and Barbara Lazara. Barbara Lazara is an artist, vocalist, and researcher focused on sound, theater, and social practices. Born and based in Mexico City, her work reflects the role of language in the suppression of epistemic peripheries and colonization. Much of her work questions logocentric thought, and the abuses of media. Through the enhancement of marginal technologies such as echolocation, spell work, and collective somatic practices, the improvised collaboration between Dashes and Barbara Lazara took place on September 10th, 2018 at Huaqueyet, also known as Iona Island, on unceded Musqueam territory. It was recorded using a set of binaural mics and features sounds of Huaqueyet percussions, found objects, including industrial waste, scrap metal, pipes, construction workers' manuals, and voice. Thank you.
very solid. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's Proximities Edition. Next week, same time, same place, we're excited to feature Edmonton-based artist Christina Battle, and Eric speaks with Jacqueline Zongli Ross of publishing house Blank Check. Closing out the show this evening is Sydney Hermont's Goddess.